And away we go here on this Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2020. I about said 2019 there. Do you know how close I was to saying 2019? You have no idea. Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great show today. And I do not want to waste any time getting into this because we have got a whole bunch of new stuff this morning to talk about. That we have not talked about before, and a whole bunch of new stuff to do this morning that we have not done before. So let's get into our housekeeping that we need to get done before we get this program off and running to a big start this morning. Now, we need to do our bicentennial moment. The bicentennial moment for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. Most commerce was carried out within money. Oh, now wait a second. Let me go back and start this all over again. Most commerce was carried on without money, with items such as furs, foodstuffs, and even labor being traded through a system of barter. When commodities were not even in value, credit would often be given. This system generally worked well for both buyer and seller, except in the cases of taxes and postage, which required actual cash payments. Postage for letters was required to be paid for by the recipient instead of the sender, and many pieces of correspondence lay for weeks or months in the frontier post offices due to the lack of 10 cents to pay the postage due. Now, can you imagine if we still operated on that system that the person receiving the mail had to pay the postage? Nobody would ever get any mail. That the sender doesn't have to pay anything. Can you imagine all these junk mail companies, which are still out there? I'm fascinated by that, to be honest with you, because we have done away with so much mail, because a lot of people pay their bills online now, a lot of people pay their do their shopping online, a lot of people pay their credit cards online. It seems to me as if mail seems to be going by the wayside, but you certainly know when an election is going on, we'll see a lot of that this year. You certainly know when somebody wants to sell a product. You certainly know when a business is having a sale, and that still all comes through the snail mail. I don't think anybody's done away with their mailbox yet. I don't even know if it would be legal to do away with your mailbox. I think you have to have a mailbox. That's an interesting question. Do you have to have a mailbox? Let's say you went out and you took down your mailbox. Are the police going to show up and slap the cuffs on you and throw you in jail? I don't know if you have to have a mailbox or not. And I don't know if you did have to have a mailbox years ago, if you still do have to have a mailbox as times continue to change. But I can only imagine if today that it was not the sender who had to pay to send the mail, that it was the receiver, because I don't know anybody who would pay for these political ads. I don't know if there's anybody who would pay for these businesses trying to send things through the mail. Does anybody really read that stuff? I always wonder it when I get it through the mail. Do you really take those political announcements and those business advertisements into your house and look through them? I know people used to do it with the coupons, but I'm not even really sure they do that anymore. So many coupons now are delivered through apps and emails and things of that nature. I'm not really sure if people do still read the mail. So I'm not sure. If you took your mailbox out, would that be a problem now? It used to be a thing that the post office was very serious about everybody having a mailbox. But I don't know if it's as serious anymore. I do remember a few years ago when they tried to take away Saturday delivery, people kind of got crazy about that, and we're not going to let that happen. I don't know if it would be so important now. I don't know. Hopefully Saturday mail delivery doesn't go away. It's kind of nice to get mail on a Saturday. I don't know how it impacts the post office people, though. I don't know how many hours a week that adds on to their day. I don't know if they get a half day during the week if they work Saturday. I don't know if everybody who works during the week has to work Saturday. I really don't know how that works. Does anybody know anything about the post office in general and how that whole spiel works? If you do, give me a call, 740-383-9944. But that is the bicentennial moment today, basically talking about how business used to be carried out. It was more of a barter system than anything else. And that whole postage thing is kind of interesting. Now, let's see what else we have here in our housekeeping pile for today. I mentioned this yesterday, and we'll mention it again today. The Morrill United Methodist Church at 206 West Neff Street in Morrill, Ohio, is having their old-fashioned farm breakfast, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 25th. It's an all-you-can-eat old-fashioned farm breakfast. It will consist of sausage gravy and biscuits, bacon, sausage, pancakes, scrambled eggs, home fries, orange juice, and coffee will be on the menu. Carryout is available. The church is wheelchair accessible. This event is $6 for adults, $3 for children 12 and under. The old-fashioned farm breakfast this coming Saturday, January 25th, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Morrill United Methodist Church. And this has been going on for a long time. I remember advertising this just about every year that I have been on the radio, so I know that's a popular event. Also, do want to remind you that the deadline for dog tags is January 31st. Marion County Auditor Joanne Kasotis wishes to remind dog owners to purchase the 2020 yearly tag by Friday, January the 31st. On February the 1st, the cost of all dog licenses will increase by $16. Well, that's quite a bit, in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code. Licensing your dog is a state law requirement for every dog 3 months of age and older. Now, the ways to purchase your new license, you can go to the Marion County Auditor's Office, 222 West Center Street here in Marion, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can mail in your forms, which are found online on the auditor's website. Let's see here. You can go to the Marion County Dog Warden's Office, located at 2252 Richland Road, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dog Warden's Office is closed on Sundays. Cash and checks are acceptable. And let's see, the license prices, by the way, if you want to know, for 1 year, it's $16. For 3 years, it's $48. And for a permanent license, it's $160. So get your dogs tagged, I guess, is the point for this particular announcement. And remember, after February the 1st, which is, when is February the 1st? We have all next week, and then I think it's next Saturday. Is next Saturday February the 1st? I think that's right. The price will go up $16 on each license. A one-year license will become $32, a three-year license will become $64, and a permanent license will become $176. And remember, they're due by Friday, January 31st. So the first would be, February 1st would be on a Saturday. So that announcement is out there today as well. So I think we have done our housekeeping. We've talked about the big farm breakfast. We've talked about the dog tags, and we have done our bicentennial moment. Okay, well, now we can slide over to the things that I was going to talk about this morning, because there are a few interesting things that I want to talk about. 22 and a half minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday morning, middle of the week. We're already at Wednesday. By the way, don't forget today, the Charlie Evers Show will be coming up this morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. I believe Charlie has some giveaways to the Smoothie King and the Ridgedale Lions big event coming up, the big NASCAR event coming up, I believe, February the 15th. So there's a lot going on when it comes to this station and comes to the community of Marion. Okay. Oh, and also today, we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. Now, Here is a subject I want to address before we get into our big topics of the day. Now, to be honest with you, this really does not bother me all that much, and I'm not even sure, big picture, if this really happened to me or anybody else that I know of, but I do think it's an interesting topic to discuss, because when you are in the workplace or you are in a friendship, relationship, whatever, when you have any kind of personal relationship with somebody, however it is, do you think it is okay for somebody to go over your head and make a comment about you or maybe how you handled something to another person? Now, do you think it's always best to go to you first and say, okay, I didn't like how that went. I didn't like how you handled that. I didn't think that was the best possible outcome that we could have had. Is that the way to go? Or should you go over that person's head to possibly their boss or somebody else and not even telling the people that there was a problem and go to the boss and say, hey, you know, I did not like the way that that went. And it kind of annoyed me. So, do you feel that's the proper thing to do? Or do you think the best possible way to handle that is to just deal with the people who you are dealing with? What do you think? Does anybody have an opinion on this? Because I know this happens a lot in the workplace, and it also happens a lot with friends. How many times have we had a friend who would not say something to you, but then they would go to maybe another friend that you had in common, or just somebody who maybe knew you, and they would say, okay, this is what I really think about this person. And it gets back to you, because that's just how it is. It's the trickle-down theory in life. And you get it, now it's worse than it would have been if they would have came to you. Now, see, I never understand what really drives this. Are they fearful to come directly to you because they're afraid you'll get mad at them? Or do they just not know what to do besides go to somebody else? I don't know how this all happens, but I know that when this does happen, that a lot of people do get angry when they find out about it. And they say, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just tell me? If you just told me, everything would have been hunky-dory. We could have fixed the problem, we could have went forward, and there would have been no issue. Now, I can see if something's habitually happening, that you might want to go to the next level, but I don't know that you would want to do it with people maybe that you had just met, or people that you did not know very well. I don't know that that is the best possible outcome in the world. As a matter of fact, I think that could be a pretty bad outcome. As a matter of fact, does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-383-9944. It's interesting because I've heard about this happening twice this week from two different sources, where one person will have a problem with something somebody else is doing, and instead of going to that person, they go to maybe somebody over their head, or they go to another person who's involved in the situation. And this causes a very big problem. And I think it probably does cause animosity toward the person who makes the complaint. I would guess that it really drives animosity, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think? 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. Because this does happen. As much as you think it might not, it does happen. Now, that's just a big picture subject for the day, and maybe we'll talk more about that later on as well. Now, here's something interesting that happened this morning. So I'm getting ready to come here, and you know, it's still dark outside when I leave my house at this particular point, but it is getting lighter. I noticed that yesterday when I came out of the building yesterday at 5 o'clock, it was still daylight. It was not daylight a month and a half ago when I was coming out of the building. So that's a good sign. It's still freezing cold, but at least we're getting a little bit of daylight. So this morning I'm coming out of my house and it's dark. And I see these two cars driving down the street, and where I live, there's not a whole lot of traffic. But these two cars are driving down the street, and as I'm walking to my car, the car stops, and they roll down their window, and they kind of yell in my direction, and they say, "Hey, have you seen a little dog in this area?" And of course, I had not seen a little dog, because I had just come out of my house, so basically all you got to see was me. All I got to see was the area between my door and the car. So there was not a whole lot of, just not a whole lot of time for me to see any little dog. And it was dark, so I certainly did not see a little dog. But there was a group of people who were certainly out and about last night. So, that's very interesting, looking for a dog. And we hope they find their dog. You know, I hate for people to lose their pets. That is so sad, so awful sad, to lose your pet like that. But we hope they find their dog. They did not seem incredibly worried. So, to me, I kind of... I'm hopeful that these people will find their dog. So that's my inspirational moment for this morning. I hope these people do end up finding their dog. All right. So now we've got that on the table. I don't know anything about the dog. I would tell you about the dog if I knew anything about it. And then we kind of would be able to go from there. Okay. What's next in our hullabaloo here this morning? Okay, let's see. Well, we'll talk about this other stuff in a minute. But I want to get the Hillary log out of the way this morning. Because we've been doing this for days now. Well, we've been doing this for 2 days. And we want to get another entry in today. Now, if you have not heard about this, now here's the deal. It's 2020. It's the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in a presidential election. It's the 100th anniversary of President Harding taking office. It is just a big time for Marion. It's our bicentennial, and we're all very happy. Now, I understand, I always preface this with this, I understand that people do not like Hillary Clinton. I get it. There are a lot of people who don't like her. There are a lot of people who are not politically lined up with her. But to me, this is not a political thing. What this is here is a woman who's been Secretary of State. Here is a woman who's been First Lady of the United States for 2 terms. Here is a woman who was the first woman of any major party to win her nomination for that party in a presidential election. So I just think if we invited her here, this would be a big thing for Marion. And also, we could get her on this program, and maybe we could find out why people don't like Hillary Clinton. And that's really what we want to do. We want to know why people don't like Hillary Clinton. And maybe she knows the answer. By the way, Hillary Clinton did an interview. I don't know if any of you saw this. Hillary Clinton did an interview a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, hasn't been too long ago at all, with Howard Stern. Now, this is not a show that you would typically think that Hillary Clinton would be going on, the Howard Stern show. But she did go on the Howard Stern show, and she was on there for something like 2 hours one morning. And the Hillary Clinton you see in that show is completely different than the Hillary Clinton you see anywhere else. That person you saw giving speeches or doing other things. And it's on YouTube. So I, you know, even if you really, really, really dislike Hillary Clinton, what I would say is go to YouTube and check out. Go to YouTube and check out the Hillary Clinton speech on Howard Stern. Okay. Now, That being said, we want Hillary to come to Marion. She's going to come here to the radio station. I'm going to ask her why people don't like her. And then we're all going to have a big celebration. And it'll bring a lot of attention to Marion. And we all want commerce here in Marion. And we all want big celebrations. So I'm going to do the entry into the Hillary log here momentarily. And we're going to take the phone call here right now. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing pretty well.
Nice time to get you out here on a hump day of Wednesday.
Yes, it is. We're here right in the middle of the week.
That's right.
Don't you like to be right in the middle of the week?
Yeah, I wish it was Saturday already, though. That way I could be off Sunday. But
maybe it'll move fast.
You think?
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah, I only get one day off this week, but that's all right.
So what's new in your world?
You know, working and that's just really about it. It's, living the dream, as they say, people say.
They do say that, but do you think they're really living the dream? I don't think they really are.
I live in the American dream. That's the new term now.
Well, I don't know, though, but I wish people were living the dream. I think if more people were living the dream, they'd be happier.
You think. Possibility. So I've got some of your subjects this morning. I just now turned on the radio. I was trying to run a little bit behind to work this morning, and I didn't really hear all the whole topics that you were going on. I heard that Hillary Clinton, we want to bring her to town.
Well, don't you think that we should bring Hillary to town?
Hillary Clinton, you know, she's been in Marion before.
One time she was here before. She was down at the Harding Hotel. But don't you feel that it would be good for Hillary Clinton to come here? And we're not talking about politics. I know people get all bent out of shape. We're not talking about politics at all. All I'm saying is that Hillary Clinton should just come here and sit across from me like many other people. I mean, we've had Jesse Jackson. We've had Roger Stone. We've had Madeleine Albright. We've had the whole bunch. It's time for Hillary Clinton to come here, sit across from me, and I will just ask her why people don't like her.
Well, I think Howard Stern asked that same question. I watched that whole video. And you're right, it was a very long interview, and she actually cusses on that show. Of course, you can get away with it on the satellite radio. That was a very interesting interview they done.
Well, yeah, I thought it was one of the best interviews that Hillary had ever given, because Howard Stern was asking Howard Sternish type questions, and Hillary Clinton, now that she's not running for anything and doesn't have anything to worry about, I thought she was answering all these questions kind of interestingly, and she was talking more, not so much about her politics, but she was talking about her childhood and her mother and her father and had she ever been to a psychiatrist, and just stuff I never really heard Hillary Clinton talk about before.
Absolutely, it was a very good interview. I don't think he was very stern as you would be, because when you do interviews, you're very unique. I should say.
I'm a very unique interviewer. Is that what?
Yeah, I mean, no,
see, I
mean,
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Let me see if I can come up with it. I mean, you throw hardball questions that people don't even think people want to ask. Put it that way. Like, you know, you would say, you know, please forgive me, but at the beginning, but you would ask these serious questions. I mean, he kind of went around and about, or turned it, but he really never came out and said, hey, people don't 100% like, you know what I mean? He didn't really, I mean, I watched the whole interview, and he really didn't get into, like, questions like you would ask, per se. You know, I'm getting at.
Now,
you know what I'm getting at.
So where have you seen me be a hardball interviewer?
Oh, I've been around. I mean, I've been around the world on a mule with you.
Well, I understand. Where?
I was in Washington, D.C., a grown lady. I had to consult I had to sit over there and rub. I had to rub Helen Thomas's back because she started crying.
I don't think I made her cry.
Oh, yeah, you did. You made her cry. You called her anti-Semite.
Oh, man. No, I did not call her an anti-Semite, first of all. What I said was, I said, Helen, please forgive me, but what do you say to the people who call you an anti-Semite? I didn't call her an anti-Semite.
I know. But she was upset because that question, and then after that, right after that question, you said, Obama really doesn't like you.
Well, that's true. That's what made her cry. It wasn't the anti-Semite thing. What it was President Obama had made a comment, and I don't have the comment in front of me, but I'm sure it's on YouTube, where he had said he was sorry that a great career had ended in such disgrace. And that really upset her because I don't think she'd ever heard that before. And when I pointed that out to her, she burst into tears.
Yeah, she did. And I had to go over and sit beside her and, you know, and say, hey, everything's okay.
I don't know why you went to console her. You know, when I'm doing an interview, Well, first of all, I wouldn't console anybody anyway. I'm not a good consoler.
I was just sitting there listening, so I had to do something.
Yeah, I didn't even stop the interview when she started crying.
No, you just kept going.
Well, you have to. It's an interview.
That's what I'm saying. So, I'm just saying that's something that you would do. See, some of these people don't ask hard, that's what I'm getting at this. Some people don't ask questions like you do. I mean, you just flat out just ask them a hard, question. And a lot of the interviews that people do, they are like, they already are scripted. You see what I'm getting at? Most of the time, none of your interviews are scripted at all. You just ask questions, whatever you think you want to ask.
Well, anybody who listens to this show on a daily basis certainly knows that this show is not scripted.
Right. I mean, but most interviews are. I mean, they call in, say, this is what we're going to talk about first. But you don't. You don't do that. You don't prep your interview. Which is good, because it makes it more interesting.
Well, see, I don't know what I'm going to ask people. Now, sometimes I'll write down bullet points because I don't want to forget something like a date or a figure or something like that, so I'll do that. But I don't write questions for interviews.
Right.
So how do I...
And you certainly don't have your guests call in first and say, hey, what are we talking about?
No, I don't want to know. I don't want them to hand me an agenda. I don't want anything like that because there's things I want to know about them. And I figure during the interview, during the conversation, I'll learn. But what I want to know, other than the Helen Thomas thing, when have you ever seen me be rude to somebody?
It's probably been quite a few of them. I can't remember over the years, but it's not really rude. It's just stern. I'm not saying it's rude. It's just that you're very. I guess what else you say? You're crossed the line. You get to the point across. You see what I mean? You don't beat around the bush. Is that the best way to say it? You don't beat around the bush. You just smile out and say, hey. You know, but you do use the word sometimes in the beginning. Excuse me for asking you this. Oh, like for instance, I have to. I gotta bring this one up. But this wasn't on the radio. This was on a television show.
The days of television. How I miss. Remember those?
Yes, Damon Zach and that doctor that tried to put me to sleep. Or whatever he was trying to do.
Oh yeah, the hypnotist. Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't hypnotize. I cannot be hypnotized because I had a witch doctor try it, and I had this other doctor try it, and they could not do it.
So you felt that I was rude to the witch doctor and the hypnotist?
Well, you just said to him, what do you think about when people say you prey on them?
Yeah, he wasn't happy with me. I remember that. He had anger in his eyes at me at that point.
guy. What was his name? Leroy Jenkins is another one you gave a. You asked a lot of hardball questions again.
Oh, the Reverend Leroy. Yeah, Reverend Leroy Jenkins. Yeah. He and I. But you know
what? You're not talking to me now.
Well, but I don't think that he was ever... I don't think the Reverend Leroy ever got angry at me, but, you know, I had to ask him, you know, why did he go to prison for arson? Was he selling phony holy water? Did he steal this woman's lottery ticket? I don't think he liked those questions, but, see, I can't hold back because if I didn't ask the hard question, I would hate myself the next day.
Well, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying... You just asked me to bring up that, hey, your interviews are not scripted. You ask hardball questions and it makes it more interesting. Because some of these interviews that you listen to, people don't ask hardball questions anymore. They're either afraid to hurt somebody's feelings, and you don't care if you hurt a feeling or not.
No, I don't care if I hurt somebody's feelings. You know, that's a tact in my brain. I don't know why that is, but you know what? I don't even think about their feelings, to be honest with you. I figure if you're sitting down to do an interview with me, then listen, this is what it's going to be. And I don't, you know, if your feelings are hurt, I'm sorry, but that's the way it goes.
I mean, if you're going to do the interview, you got to be open book. And I'm sorry. This is, I mean, you gotta be prepared. If you're going on the radio and you're doing an interview, you gotta be prepared. And you don't know what the person's gonna ask you, so you gotta be open. And I'm tired of these people. Well, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. So why are you doing an interview? I mean, if you're gonna do an interview, you gotta be open to everything. Especially if you're running for office or you know something like that. Because the American people, especially when you're running for office, they want to know everything about you. Or, you know, and I'm sorry, but if you're sitting down doing an interview, you better be truthful. I mean, that's just the way it goes in life.
Well, see, I just don't like people who are dishonest in general. That's my biggest pet peeve with somebody, is if I ask them something and I find out that they have not been honest with me, you can tell me anything in the world. You could tell me the most horrible thing in the world, and as long as you're honest with me about it when I ask you, fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. I can forgive anything. But what I can't do is you tell me something that is not true, and then I find out later on that it wasn't true. Now, see, then we've got a problem, because now I can't trust you. I can deal with a person who did something wrong. I can't deal with somebody who I can't trust.
Right, exactly. That's the way it needs to be. I mean, you're taking a risk by doing an interview anyway. If you don't want to do an interview, go sit down next year and do an interview. If you don't want your stuff out there or whatever, don't do the interview. I mean, let's think before, you know. I mean, interviews are not always easy. You know, they're not a piece of cake.
No.
If you don't know what the other person's going to ask you.
No, and anything can be coming around the corner at that particular moment. Now, while I have you on the line, though, I do want to do this because, you know, I'm keeping this composition notebook, the Hillary log here, and I want to make our daily entry into this because so we know where we are. Now, on January 17th, the entry was, started Hillary log again, invited listeners to send a letter, because this is Hillary's address, her office address, P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185. That's P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185. Now, that was on the 17th. Now, on January 21st, I said, did not hear from Hillary. So now everybody get ready. If you're playing along at home, open up your composition notebook. It's January 22nd now, 2020, and sadly, did not hear from Hillary. But
did you mail her a letter?
No, I didn't mail her a letter. What I feel should happen is that all the people listening to this show should mail her a letter and say, Hillary, you need to come before this year is up of 2020. You need to come to Marion. We're celebrating the bicentennial. It's the 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected. It's a presidential year, and that's a big deal in Ohio. It's 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in a presidential election. And, hey, you need to come on the Scott Spears show because he's going to ask you why people don't like you. So that's what they need to put in this.
Here.
Huh?
I'm confused here on your log here. Hang on. I'm going to put myself here as a listener here.
Yes.
So, you did a log, but you want your listener to mail a letter to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
To have, okay, so, how do you know they have a mailed them a letter?
Well, I don't know. That's what I say. The listeners are going to have to keep me informed on this. All I'm saying is this is what I'm charting from my area. Because I assume that the listeners would put in the letter to contact the radio station. The listeners know the radio station number.
Hopefully they did. I don't know.
Well, if they didn't, I can't help that. I assume that Hillary Clinton's people can find the radio station phone number.
Yeah, I don't know. You should have done that a little bit differently.
Well, I'm not going to send her a letter, because if I send her a letter, then it's just a regular request, and that doesn't mean much. What we're trying to do here is create a motion, kind of create a fan club, kind of create a tidal wave.
Oh, a fan club. You're part of a fan club. I remember that.
Now, whose fan club am I part of?
You're a fan club of, Sophia.
Oh, yes, Estelle Getty. Well, I'm not a fan. I talked to the leader of the fan club, but I never joined the fan club. But, I just, right now, as of January 17th, we did not hear from Hillary, but we did start the log. January 21st, we did not hear from Hillary, and now January 22nd, we did not hear from Hillary. But it hasn't been a week yet, so I'm not getting worried, but at some point, we do want to hear from Hillary.
Well, hopefully, you explain it every day, so you listen to the listener. Make sure you put on the letter to contact the radio station.
No, I if they do that, that's good. All I'm saying is in the letter, they need to say, you need to come to Marion, you need to help celebrate all these events, and while you're here, you need to go on this radio show. Now, if that's the letter they're sending, I assume that Hillary's people are going to contact me, not that person, to say, how do I get on that radio show?
Gotcha. All right. Well,
but that's where it is.
There's plenty of time.
Well, at this particular point, as far as I'm concerned, we want her here. And like I say, I know a lot of people dislike her, and I know that's a bad point of contention that a lot of people dislike her. But this is not political. We're not bringing her here to do a campaign rally. We're bringing her here because of the significance of what she's done in life and the fact that it will be good for Marion. It'll bring a lot of publicity here, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because being, like you said, 100 years, the women got the vote. It's the Marion's special year as well. That word just slipped my mind. What is that word?
The bicentennial?
Yes, thank you. I could not think of that word. Before I turn on the radio this morning, before I have to head on to my job here, what would you talk about before? Because I missed that beginning. Very beginning of your show there.
Oh, about people going over people's heads?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, because I think I've heard two stories about this week, and I think it's bad when there are some people together and one person who maybe doesn't know the other people very well doesn't like something the other person's doing, and instead of taking it up with them, they go to maybe a boss or a superior or just another friend or person in the relationship, and they tell them, they try to go over their head to fix the problem. And I think this just creates more animosity, because eventually the people hear about it and they know that you went over their head, and that doesn't create a good situation.
No, it doesn't. It sure doesn't. No. But the only time you should go over somebody's head, if the other person you go to first don't fix the issue.
Well, like I said, if it happens repeatedly, I'm okay with people taking other steps. But if it's the first time that it's happened, and you've never even went to that other person and said, I didn't like this, how are the other people even aware that you have a problem?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. You want to go to chain of command first, and to make sure you go to that person first. But if that other person doesn't want to do anything about it, then you want to go on to the next step.
Well, I'm just glad we got the Hillary log done here, because I know people don't like her. I get it. But I'm just saying that, you know, at some point, we have got to forgive in this country. We got too much anger going on in this country, and I would invite anybody here. If there's other people that we want to invite, that's fine. Let me know who they are. We'll invite them, Republican, Democrat, Independent. I don't really care. We just want some people here to help make Marion a better place, bring some attention to us. And at this particular point, like it or not, Hillary Clinton is the only woman who's ever had the nomination for president of any major political party.
Yep, she got the popular vote and everything that day.
And if she comes here, I will try to make her cry.
I don't know. She's pretty hard ball.
You think she's harder ball than Helen Thomas?
I don't know. Hillary Clinton's pretty tough. She's I don't think she has any tears in her body.
Well, there are some people like that who don't have any emotions and any tears in their body. Now, some people are full of tears. And that's why, and that's why I'm not a good consoler, because when people start to break down and cry, I don't know what to do.
I think Hillary would just go back at it. She's a fighter. I think she doesn't care what people talk about her.
See, when somebody starts to cry in front of me, you know, I like go get a cup of tea or something. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make them feel better. I say, well, I'll go get a cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
I'll go get a cup of tea.
Oh, God. What do you think we are, in London?
I like British accents. I like anything British. I'm right there for that. I like the fact that the royals have left, you know, Harry and Meghan have left the royal family. That's an interesting story to me.
Yeah, that is very interesting. So. All right. Well, nice talking to you. I'll talk to you soon. And good luck on that Hillary log. Maybe somebody will call in this week.
It shall continue. And hopefully we'll hear from Hillary's people pretty soon. But I don't think we'll get an email from them, because I know they've had trouble with that in the past.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye. All right, 56 minutes past the hour. Boy, this first hour is flying right by. Do you have any opinions? Should you go to somebody superior, or should you go to the person if you've got a problem with them? What do you think about that? We've heard some opinions now on this morning, and I think it's a very prescient subject. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Got a few minutes left here. What do you think about the Hillary Clinton log? Has this just got you gigantically excited? Are you excited for the Hillary Clinton log? Does it just bring out absolute joy and excitement and happiness in you that we're trying to get Hillary Clinton here? Because you have to have goals in life. And now this is just one of the goals that we have set. That's all it is. It's a goal. If we succeed, we succeed. If we fail, we fail. The only failure in life is not trying. So we've already passed by failure by trying to get her here. Now remember, you can do your own Hillary log. All you got to do, get yourself a composition notebook, get yourself a pen, and play along every morning here on this particular station. Again, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. There's some stuff we're going to do next hour. We've got a lot of fun stuff that we're going to do next hour. You're not going to want to miss for love nor money. But here's something kind of interesting that I wanted to talk about. Cadbury eggs, real quick. Because I've brought this up before. We've talked about Cadbury eggs on the air. And I learned yesterday, and I posted this on the internet, I posted it on Facebook, so it's not like I haven't said this anywhere before, I learned that nobody really likes Cadbury eggs. Now, I tested this yesterday because somebody who does like Cadbury eggs, I'm not saying there aren't a few people who do, somebody who likes Cadbury eggs brought some to a place where I was. And, of course, they offered me one, and I said, no way in this world am I touching that thing, because I just can't stand them. And then they offered one to another person there who actually took the Cadbury egg. Now, they started to eat the Cadbury egg, and I noticed that as they were eating the Cadbury egg, they weren't really eating the inside contents of that egg. So immediately, I was suspicious. I thought, uh-oh, even though this person took the Cadbury egg, it's clear to me that maybe they don't like the Cadbury egg, because they were just eating kind of the outside shell of the Cadbury egg. And in the end, they said, boy, I really don't like the insides. But I think they wanted to eat the insides to pacify the person who had given it to them, because they gave it to them for free. So the person kind of plugged their nose and took the inside of the Cadbury egg and just kind of knocked it back. Knocked it back. Like they, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, do you know when like a little child has to take like awful dreaded cough medicine? That's what it reminded me of. You know, they plug their nose and they pinch their arm so it doesn't hurt and they can't taste the stuff, and they've got the orange juice waiting right there to wipe this stuff down, and they downed that Cadbury egg yesterday. But I don't think they like it. Now, they're trying to claim that they do like it. I don't think they did like it. We got a break. We've got a whole next hour. Oh, man, you're not going to want to miss next hour. We've got some things coming up next hour to do with movies. We've got some things to do with the phone book. You're not going to want to miss next hour. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like the goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a very happy mother goose by the end of the trip.
Oh.
There, that's a secret out.
Oh, my, that's a great story.